I have good news, and I have bad news, and then I have more good news.
And better news.
I'm not aware of any better news. Welcome, everyone, to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. The good news is, here we are. We're doing another review of what we've gotten done on our morning show, which you can hear weekday mornings, 5:30 to 10 on Planet 93.9 Real Alternative Radio.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, so the bad news is this will be the last show for 2023. This is your last review because, you know, we're off next week.
Well, it's getting toward the end of the year, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't it?
So that's the bad news. Of course, the good news is we'll have another new episode for you as soon as 2024 starts.
Oh, there'll be a bunch of them.
I mean, not when 2024 starts immediately, but, you know, like that first week, I would expect to hear from us.
Okay, Mr. Gimble.
I wouldn't say that. So let's get into it. The Top 5 Things podcast is brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They are the only locally owned dispensary around, so keep that in mind. Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan and Galesburg locations, they are both open 7 days a week. Both dispensaries offer recreational cannabis, and Milan offers medicinal, including topicals for localized pain.
Let's begin!
Number 1.
Darren, it's time to play one of your favorite quiz sensations here on the Dave and Darren of the Morning Show. It's time for another thrilling round of...
Yeah. Hey, what happened?
Hey, what happened? The game show where Darren has to decide what exactly happened. Welcome, welcome,
what
everybody.
Happened?
Hey! What happened? And now... your host for Hey, What Happened, Dave Lavora. Darren, it's exciting to have you back on the show.
You
are our returning champion. I understand you're a young man who keeps busy.
Well, I'm good at Google, also shadow boxing. I like naps and firecrackers.
Well, you sound like an interesting fellow.
Thank you.
I have a story here about something that happened on a cruise that resulted in two Carnival Cruise Line passengers being banned for life. Banned for life.
You're not allowed on the open sea. What?
Can you imagine a lifetime ban?
From the ocean?
From Carnival Cruise Line? Imagine what they put up with.
They put an ocean ban on me.
So, Darren... it's up to you now. I'll put 30 seconds on the clock. Hey, what happened? What'd they do, do you think?
They relieved themselves on the ice sculpture.
Great guess, but no.
They threw all the shrimp overboard.
Oh, no. No, that's what a crime that would be. No.
A crime against humanity.
Your time is up.
No, I'm sorry, Darren. We can't accept that. You were so close. Carnival Cruise Line announcing that two passengers have been banned for life after they were caught fishing from the balcony of their room.
Really?
That's kind of charming,
I think. Yeah, that doesn't seem... I mean...
compared to you having him take a whiz on the ice sculpture.
No kidding. Because that wouldn't even... it wouldn't make it to the water, would it?
Carnival representative says that fishing from any of the cruise line ships is strictly prohibited.
Huh.
The passengers were identified thanks to a video circulating online... and they have now been permanently banned from sailing with the company. I guess there was a TikTok of these people fishing from their room.
You know what I'd like to do today? You know what I think would be fun for a little while? Let's fish.
The video surfaced of these passengers on a Carnival ship fishing from their balcony and pulling a greenish-yellow fish measuring about 1 foot in length out of the water.
I wonder if they were going to take it to the chef. Okay, so they've got enough line to get to the water.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. What do you do with that fish? Hey, Could you cook this up? I'm looking at the video. That is a lot of line that they've
got.
It
would have to be.
Yeah, that is. I don't know what the test is on that line, but they're pulling this thing in. And wow. Yeah, foot-long fish. Congratulate us.
I don't know, Chef.
We did it.
I don't know, Chef. I just thought maybe you could serve it up with some risotto and some fresh vegetables. I don't know. Surprises.
Listen, we're not here for whatever you got frozen in your galley there.
Yeah.
We just pulled this in off of the ocean.
This is going to
10 minutes ago.
This is going to be good.
Earlier this year, a woman in Texas was banned for life from Carnival ships after she packed CBD gummies in a carry-on bag. What a bunch of fun haters the people at Carnival ships are.
Kidding. Big deal. What are you talking about? Yeah, go ahead and cook up that fish and serve it at the captain's table tonight.
Banned for life. You imagine you get that letter in the mail?
Frame it.
We cannot allow you to get back on the boat after we saw this video of you fishing.
What's that?
What's the problem?
You guys didn't stop me when I showed up with the when I came on the boat with my fishing rod.
This woman in Texas who got banned last month, it was CBD sleep aid gummies.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Melinda Van Veldhuizen, a 42-year-old mother of two, said she was treated like a criminal by cruise employees and police when they found a bag of CBD sleep-tight gummies while searching her backpack at Port Miami over the summer. The Dallas-based nurse practitioner said she packed the gummies to help her get some sleep on the August trip that she planned to take with her family to celebrate both her 21st wedding anniversary with her husband and her son's senior year of high school. She was taken to a separate area after a crew staffer found the CBD gummies in her bag, interrogated by Carnival security and police for 2.5 hours. CBD gummies, you can get those at Walgreens, can't you?
I think you can get them just about anywhere. Don't we sell them?
She says we might. I know they took our U-Haul business away, but we might be getting in the CBD gummy business. She says she's never gotten so much as a parking ticket in her entire life. She was blocked from boarding the ship, and her husband and son did not want to do the cruise to Aruba without her.
Maybe Aruba's not your thing. I don't know.
Family spent about $5,600 on their planned vacation. CBD, a compound commonly derived from hemp that does not cause impairment or a high, is different from marijuana.
It is.
If your gummies have THC, that's a completely different thing. Although, frankly, what would be the problem with having that on a ship? I don't understand. This Carnival Cruise Lines.
This is no carnival.
These are fun haters.
How dare you?
You suck.
Yes, Carnival Cruise Lines.
Call this a carnival.
You just made the list.
You know what? You're cruising for a bruising.
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
Mister.
That's well said.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Two.
Two. Two.
When you're robbing a bank, and I'm not suggesting anyone should, but maybe you need a little extra cash for the holiday season.
If I was to rob a bank,
yeah,
I'd never do it.
Yeah.
Because I would just have this, the feeling that everyone's watching me.
Well, they are.
I know it.
Find a place that's got more cameras than a bank.
That's why I would have that feeling. I mean, I would be right to feel that way. It's like everyone's watching.
Money, please.
Money.
It seems like, though, if you had to rob a bank, there are steps. I mean, if I were to ask you, to write down on a piece of paper, plot a bank robbery for me, I'm confident, knowing you as I do, that you would be able to write down a plan that would make some sense.
Well, if the first thing we do is we wait until the security guard who's sitting at the front of in his chair falls asleep.
I thought you were going to say the first thing we do is go out for a big breakfast.
Well, we might as well.
Step one on your bank robbing plan is to go out for a big breakfast.
We don't know when we're going to get fed in jail. Because let's face it, we're not going to pull this off.
Happy New Year to you in jail. So
that's an excellent point.
We might as well have a big, big breakfast.
Excellent point.
Maybe like a...
Money, please. Money, please.
Columbus, Ohio, police were able to arrest one Richard Hampton after he robbed a bank. It wasn't hard to identify Hampton as the guy who robbed the bank because he did not bother to wear a disguise.
Mm-hmm. I'm going as Richard Hampton.
A mask is what they want me to wear.
Exactly. If you did wear a mask, what mask would you wear?
Oh, I
know. Your C-3PO?
No, because then they'd know it's me. It'd have to be something that, like, it would have to be, like, the last mask I would wear.
What would that be?
I don't know. It would have to be something that I'm not, like, attached to.
Something
like a Harry Potter mask, maybe. I don't care about Harry Potter. I don't want to give away the whole thing in case I need to rob a bank. I'd probably do some sort of Harry Potter thing. Pin it on the wizards or the muggles or whatever they're called.
Would you go as
Voldemort? No. We can say his name, Darren. He's not real.
No, not him.
Hmm.
The one that Lindsay Lohan was.
Hermione?
Would you go as Hermione?
Maybe.
Okay.
Be kind of hot.
I might just give you the money.
Yeah, I've got a gun in my pocket and this magnifying glass over my chest for some reason. Columbus, Ohio police were able to easily apprehend Richard Hampton after he robbed this bank. Quite a few missteps in this guy's bank robbing plan.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Grandpa's never robbed a bank before.
About scared me half to death. Apparently the getaway driver was just some random person he met at a grocery store.
Hey, can I ask a favor of you?
He offered the guy $50 to help him flee after the robbery. According to the cops, the vehicle was casually driving away without being in any sort of rush.
He's not in a hurry.
Including stopping at all the traffic lights.
What? I'm not going to get a ticket.
I'm already in trouble.
Listen, you gave me only $50. If I get a traffic ticket, there goes the $50.
The best part of the story, though, is the note that Richard Hampton is alleged to have handed the teller at the bank.
Did it just say money, please?
It said, give me the. And that was it.
You fill in the blank.
Didn't finish what the...
Number one answer on the board. Is it there?
They can't get me for bank robbing if I don't specifically ask for money.
That might have been the thought process.
Give me the. The teller handed over $723 along with a secret tracking device. Oh. Hampton later confessed that he had forgotten to write the word money on the note to say, give me the money, because his words now, he was pretty high at the time.
Well, sure you were.
Hey, man, crazy meeting you like this here at the grocery store. Do you want to maybe help me rob a bank?
Yeah, I could do that. Don't ask me to speed, and I don't run red lights.
Charging documents filed yesterday by an FBI agent accusing this guy of giving the bank teller a note with the words, give me the, and the word gun was written below it. Give me the gun. He then pointed to his waistband several times, while telling the employee that she needed to hurry things up. Police used the tracker to arrest Hampton and recover the cash. He confessed on a video recorded interview to robbing the bank after smoking some crack.
Takes the edge off.
Getaway driver, someone he met at a grocery store and promised to pay $50 to drive him just before he robbed the bank. According to court documents, the vehicle was casually driving away without rush, including stopping at traffic lights. That's the best. Hey, listen, man.
I don't break every law.
I'm happy to be your getaway driver.
But within reason.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Oh, well, him maybe, but not me, officer.
No.
And my hands were attended to the whole time, you'll notice.
Three.
All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
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 From time to time, I will get emails from people wondering if we want to cover stories. These are like PR people who must have a list of contacts of, you know, TV, newspaper, and radio station people across the country.
Yeah.
And it's their job to get us excited about talking about something.
Make you aware of it.
Right. I got an email last week wondering if we were interested at all in covering the fact that the sled from the movie Elf, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary, is going to be in Central Park in New York City.
Okay. Well, I guess we just did.
Well, I was reading it like, if it was in Vanderveer Park, that would be something. I don't know why we would spend a ton of time.
If it was over at the new fire station, fire station number three.
Yes.
Then, okay.
Now you've got something.
Yeah.
Will the sled from Elf be on the pedestrian walkway on the new I-74 bridge? Okay, now that I would like to talk about. But again, this is the prop that Ed Asner as Santa Claus uses in the movie Elf.
Is it a big deal in the movie?
I mean, it's Santa's sled. It's
Ed Asner's Santa Claus?
Yeah, in Elf he is. Huh. And can I say this?
What?
Does a good job as Santa Claus.
Bet he did.
If only Ted Knight were around to play like Bingo the Elf. Santa! Santa, we gotta get going. No. So yeah, Ed Asner is Santa and Christmas gets saved. I mean, I don't want to ruin the movie for you, but it's been out.
But
for
is he really
years.
Santa?
Yes. Okay. He is the honest to goodness real life Santa.
Okay.
And his sled, you see, the problem is not enough people believe in Santa, and without people believing, the sled can't fly. So then Buddy the Elf and his friends have to get everyone to believe in Santa, and then the sled flies, and Christmas is saved. But, like, it's not as important as, say, oh, I don't know, like, it's not, this isn't like the Batmobile, right? It's not like, holy cow, look at that. It's
not even the Wienermobile.
It's not the Monkeymobile. It's none of those things. It's not Rob Zombie's Dracula. It's a sled from the movie Elf.
How big is it?
Well, Santa sled size.
Okay.
I mean, big enough for a couple of passengers and a toy sack with a billion toys in it.
I had a buddy that when we were kids, his family had a sled, a horse-drawn sled.
Wow.
His dad was a vet.
Okay.
And he was a vet that was not a kid.
He was a vet that fought in the war against Dr. Zhivago. Well, why would he need a sled?
I don't know, because they lived on a piece of land that they could. Although now that I think about it, they didn't have horses.
This story's falling apart.
It is starting to fall apart. Now I'm starting to think they just went somewhere.
Dad needs the sled because he's a vet. Oh, okay. I don't have any questions.
Well, he was a vet, but he wasn't like a cat. He wasn't a cat dog vet. He was like the guy who, I'm your cow vet.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of, you know, we this cow needs to deliver a baby cow.
Can I admit something?
Yeah.
I didn't realize veterinarians had specialties, but I guess that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
Partnership. He had a partnership. He had a vet office, but his partner was the cat and dog vet. He was the one that was out in the field.
So you've got your animal husbandry veterinarian and your pet veterinarian. Those are different vets. I guess I just assumed vets could do all of it.
But well, that's asking a lot.
I mean, yeah, that's every creature on earth that's not a human being.
Yeah. I mean, doctors just, a human being. I got you.
Yeah, being a doctor seems lazy now that you...
Compared to a vet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Anyway, they had pictures of themselves in this sled and everything. I thought they had a sled, but now that I think about it, didn't have. But did they didn't have horses.
You mentioned that the dad's a vet. Was that part of the pitch? Like, well, we have to have this.
Well, it was just that
in case dad needs to get out to the farm and the roads are closed.
It was just that he was an outdoorsman.
Okay.
You see, he spent a lot of time outdoors.
Well, what good is a sled without anything to pull it?
Well, no, but there
was that your buddy's job?
No, there were pictures and there were horses pulling the sled.
Okay.
And it was like a full size sled.
Well, that's what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a movie prop Santa sled. It's a little bit more fanciful than what your friend would have had on his property growing up.
I don't think they had horses.
Well, this thing, I get this press release wondering if we'd like to cover.
And cover it in what way?
Well, it's making a journey from Long Island to Central Park.
Uh-huh.
Would we like to send someone to go and see the sled?
Well, if they
journey?
Can send us some hotels.com cards, maybe we can make that happen.
Right. I'm reading this email thinking, I don't know what world they think we live in that we have people to send to New York.
Correspondence.
Yeah. I'm here, Dave and Darren, in Long Island. We're going to watch the sled leave and make its way to Manhattan, where it will be at Central Park for the holiday season. So whoop-de-doo. Drivers on the Long Island Expressway treated to an unusual and festive sight.
So whoop-de-doo.
When this sled got infected.
The outfit I'm wearing today slays. Check out my drip.
Do you like this pencil? Sled. How are these sled puns going over? So I'm reading this and I'm thinking, well, what a terrific waste of time this would be for everybody. And I can't imagine watching a sled get moved by a police escort from wherever it was in a private collection in Long Island to Central Park. I think, who is going to follow that? Certainly they're not going to follow that in New York City, the number one media market in the world.
Think about the fact that that's your job, just sending that information out to people.
Yeah.
What an incredible waste of time.
Yes.
That's my job.
Yes.
I know that I'm not going to get anyone to respond to this.
Well, but they did. The people in New York went nuts for it. Here is the live coverage from WABC in New York City. They were over the moon about this iconic sleigh.
It is always near the top of favorite holiday movie lists. Elf.
Why is,
a
is
New York
he
City
talking
movie.
That way?
I know. This guy sounds
what,
like...
What is going on?
Sounds like maybe they've been having a little bit of eggnog there at the Eyewitness News.
Through and through, and today, movie magic came to life in our great city. The iconic sleigh from the classic film made its way through Midtown just in time for the holidays. Here's Eyewitness News reporter Kimberly Richardson.
Through the candy cane forest, down the LIE, and through the Midtown Tunnel, a police escort of an unusual kind. Yes, that's a giant sleigh, but not just any old sleigh.
Santa sleigh.
It's the actual one from the classic movie Elf that arrived here in Midtown to everyone's delight.
It's got the Kringle 3000 jet propulsion sleigh engine.
To celebrate the 20th anniversary of the film here on Fifth Avenue, a chance to take a picture next to the treasured piece.
And but it's on like an old trailer bed. So like they don't even have it on the ground. These people are just standing near the sleigh while it's propped up on the trailer. And this guy who owns it's got like a elf hat on. Just
telling
everybody the specs. Yeah, you see that? It's got the Kringle 3000 underneath it there. Santa's jet propulsion. Oh, over here. Oh, I got a sleigh over here. I'm walking my sleigh over here. Look at that. This guy, he's got the nice Kringle 3000 propulsion system underneath there.
Let's start at the beginning. Like Buddy in the movie bringing holiday cheer to New York City, Mark was determined to do the same thing.
God knows the world's feeling, you know, some pretty bad things. This is all about smiles and giving back.
You see, Mark, who lives in Huntington, Long Island, first spotted the sleigh nearly two decades ago, part of an online auction. He thought, perfect piece for his holiday party, but...
I didn't know it weighed one ton, I didn't know it was 18 feet long, and my wife didn't know I did it.
So what would you think the going rate would be for an iconic...
There's a lot she doesn't know.
like this one. Well, Mark initially bid just $500. The final sale?
I don't know, maybe $1 million.
That's ridiculous.
$12,000.
$12,000? How did you tell your wife?
Well, I didn't tell her until it pulled into our driveway.
After the party, Mark had a light bulb moment. Donate the sleigh, call the Hale Site Fire Department and see if they were interested.
I think we looked at each other and said, what is this? Who is this?
What?
Something
no, pass.
Everyone would come to love. Never again did the clausometer drop to zero. The one thing firefighters had to promise.
If you accept the sleigh and you take care of it, it's all yours forever.
It's your burden now.
Oh, this is on you.
So he gave us a sleigh and we bring it around. Oh, look at it! A gabagool. Oh, that's nice. So this guy bought a...
On Prancer, on Dancer, on Angular.
Hey, yo, old sleigh. Angular. I spent 15 grand on a sled over here. Oh!
That looks like you're working free for quite a while.
So it's a prop for a Christmas party that they use one time, and then he donates it. Probably, is it a tax write-off if you give it to the fire department then? How is this guy, what is he doing? What are you doing?
What's the fire department? What do we want it for?
Well, they have it to take
it's like
it
every
around
time with. There's a fire, we got to move it so we can get the engine out.
We'll be right over for the fire, all right? But first, we got to move Santa's sleigh over here.
A lot of houses have burnt to the ground because we had
all
to move
of them.
The sleigh.
All of them. Every house in Hilldale burns to the ground up over here.
The only place we have that where it fits is right in front of the fire engine.
Right.
I don't know why you guys keep blocking the fire engine with this thing.
When you come to Hale Site out on Long Island, you'll see we got Santa's sleigh right in front of the fire trucks over here. I do. Every house burns to the ground. That's a little Christmas magic.
I'm going to let you in on a little tip. They all burn to the ground.
The fire district manager that you heard was Larry Northcote. He says he regularly portrays Buddy the Elf whenever the sleigh is carted out for holiday parties. Well, there you go. My favorite part is the guy who originally bought the sleigh. That's Mark Bozek, who spent the 12 grand for the sleigh to have it for that party one time. He says, quote, "This time of year, bringing it to New York for the first time ever, you can't make this stuff up."
Well,
why would you?
It's not that unbelievable.
But a movie prop.
I believe you.
Mark, we get it. We all understand what happened here.
I'm sorry, this does not fall under the guise of a Christmas miracle.
Right. This is
all very practical, logical, and believable.
You can't make this stuff up. An idiot buys a movie prop and then donates it to a fire department to
because
make it their
problem. Because he's $12,000 underwater with
it. Oh, what have I done? This was for a holiday party. I could have just bought another tree. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. No, because it's...
There'd be no reason to. This story is all very matter of fact.
Well, I hope that story gave you a little bit of Christmas cheer.
Whoop-dee-doo.
And Hickory Dock.
Hickory Dock.
Four.
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 Yeah, that would be a good thing to get for Christmas, a gift card to a local record shop, you know? If you don't know what sort of vinyl to get your friends or CDs or whatever, go to a local record shop and get a gift card. You were at a record shop yesterday, weren't you?
I was at Co-op. I picked up 7 Andy Williams records.
What is it about Andy Williams that you like?
I don't know. It soothes me.
Yeah. Now, you got Andy Williams records, but none of them were Christmas, I imagine.
No. No.
because it's the most wonderful time of the year. I mean, that's kind of his gimmick. When you say Andy Williams, I immediately associate him with Christmas. But you just got him singing other tunes that are not Christmas related.
That's right.
Right. So you walked out of there with a haul of Andy Williams vinyl, but none of them are him in a sweater singing. Yeah. Do you hear what I hear?
Yeah, I got an Andy Williams album for every day of the week. Last night was
how fanciful
1968's Honey. So that's my Thursday record.
What's on that record that I would know?
Oh, a bunch of covers. It's actually the album it's like his 22nd album.
Yeah,
and that's 1968.
Yeah,
it's his 22nd record, and basically what it is. As opposed to him doing any sort of pop standards or Broadway tunes or songs from movies or whatever, at this point he's kind of just he's doing his take on popular music of the day.
All right, so here's my cover of Spooky.
Yes, he did Spooky.
Here I am doing By the Time I Get to Phoenix.
Uh huh.
Well, that's marvelous.
Yeah, I know. And he's wearing a Nehru jacket on the back cover.
According to Billboard magazine, when this record came out, it's Williams' relaxed and pleasant manner is admirably suited for the title song, and the album is just solid Williams fare. You concur with that?
Yeah.
Oh, he got Nick DeCaro to arrange. Well, that's good stuff.
Yeah, but I made my way to a local record store. I think that's a good idea.
Everybody, that might be the best idea. A gift card. Give the gift of music, won't you? It's cold and flu season, as you know, Darren.
Mm-hmm.
And this story, oh, man. This guy has a sneeze coming. And he decides, rather than sneezing, he's going to stop the sneeze.
Yeah, see, I do that.
Stop doing that.
Okay.
I'm going to beg you to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Because
not good for you.
No, this character... Doctors are saying, if you feel a sneeze coming on, go ahead and sneeze. This guy was in his 30s. He thought it would be a good idea to pinch his nose and close his mouth to stifle a sneeze. Ended up ripping a hole in his windpipe.
Whoa.
Yeesh.
See, when I stop my sneeze sometimes, I can kind of crack my back doing that.
Like, pinching your nose when you feel the need to sneeze. What are you, a cartoon character?
I don't pinch my nose.
Where do you think that's going to go? Doctors saying if both mouth and nose are closed during a sneeze, the pressure in the upper airways can increase by a factor of 20. It can also lead to injuries like rupturing your eardrums, broken ribs, or giving yourself an aneurysm.
Well, you don't want that. All right, I'll start sneezing.
When doctors examined the patient, they heard a cracking sound.
Yeah,
after touching his neck and found he did not have control of movement. This guy was driving when he had the urge to sneeze. It says here he has a history of allergies and throat irritation. Discharged after he was given some painkillers and some hay fever medication. Doctors have advised him to avoid strenuous physical activity for 2 weeks. Hey, man, can you help me move? No, I tore a hole in my windpipe sneezing.
You did what?
5 weeks later, they did a scan on him, and the tear in his windpipe had healed. But that's not something you want to be messing around with. Let your sneezes out. That is your body's natural defense mechanism to get rid of irritants from your nasal passages. Gently cover your face with your hand or the inner side of your elbow to prevent the irritants from getting to other people. There are some methods people can use to stifle a sneeze without closing both your nose and your mouth. One doctor says, I personally have used another technique by pressing a thumb on my upper lip just under the nose without blocking nasal passages for a few seconds. That works for me. But by leaving the nasal passages open, the sneeze can escape if the stifling doesn't work. They call this in the game, they call this, Darren, a spontaneous tracheal perforation.
Sounds like it.
It's rare, and it can be potentially life-threatening. There have only been a handful of cases where this has happened. couple of years ago, another guy tore his throat by trying to hold in a sneeze. I just don't understand the desire to do that. You got to sneeze, you got to sneeze. You're the one that always asks the question, what would happen if you sneezed underwater, right? Isn't that one of your great questions?
A buddy of mine did.
Yeah.
The commander sneezed underwater in Nashville and almost blew his brains out.
Sneezing underwater that's quite a thing.
Well, who was it that we asked that?
I believe it was Johnny Weissmuller.
No, it wasn't Johnny Weissmuller.
No.
It was some Olympic.
It was Amanda Beard.
Amanda Beard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
It was Amanda Beard.
Okay, Amanda Beard. She's an Olympian, right?
She was.
Yeah.
Because although she was on the show because she was in a magazine without her clothes on.
Okay.
But as a former,
But we asked her that question, and at first, did she say no and then said yes? Or was it the other way around? I know that she changed her answer.
I know that when we had a Olympic gold medalist swimmer on, rather than talking about her accomplishments in the pool, we were asking her about sneezing underwater. That part I do remember.
Well, she spends more time in a pool than the average person.
Well, yeah.
So she would have, that could happen. There would be more opportunities for her to sneeze in a pool underwater.
Sneezing underwater is a very rare occurrence because the stuff that usually triggers your sneeze, like dust or allergens, that doesn't exist underwater.
Yeah.
You're also not regularly inhaling anything underwater. Unless, what are you, a fish? So there isn't much chance that your nasal membrane
but
would become
But they're not saying it's impossible.
No, it does happen. Sneezes aren't only triggered by irritants.
What if you have irritants before you go underwater?
Some people have something called the photic sneeze reflex. When you see the sun for the first time, you sneeze. That's called the achoo reflex.
You do what? The first time you see the sun?
My kid has this.
Every morning?
If we're in a store,
yeah,
we're inside. When we are going to the car, he'll sneeze.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that one.
It affects like a third of the population.
Huh.
Yeah, you can't be a fighter pilot if you have it. If you don't,
does he know that?
He's made his peace with it. He'll be fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this achoo thing. When you see the sun, now, it just triggers something. And it's
achoo,
not,
you're not talking about Professor Dum Dum Sidekick.
No, a different achoo.
Okay.
It's called autosomal dominant compelling helioflegmatic outburst syndrome, or achoo. Uncontrollable sneezing in response to the sudden exposure to bright light.
Really?
Typically intense sunlight. So in the summertime?
Huh.
Oh, yeah, it's a thing.
So when he's first dealing with the sun, he'll sneeze.
He doesn't even know he does it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's like 20 to 35% of the population has this.
I've never heard of
where
that.
You don't see the sun if you're indoors. Like if you go to a movie and then you get out of the movie.
You're going
to
sneeze.
Bright light. It'll just be a quick sneeze. He doesn't even know he's doing it.
Huh.
But yeah, it's a photo sneeze reflex. So that is, people who have that, though, are people who statistically have a better chance of sneezing underwater.
Okay.
Sunlight can induce your sneeze for some people. Sometimes sneezes just happen randomly. And if it happens randomly, that means it can happen underwater. You look at any scuba diving forum, and they will say that sneezing underwater is exactly like sneezing on land. Although if you're scuba diving, that's kind of a different thing because you're in your own little contained atmosphere there.
Right.
They say if you're underwater and you have to sneeze, you should try to sneeze through your mouth rather than through your nose. If any mucus is produced by the sneeze, you should be able to clear it out with your purge button. Okay, hit the purge button.
Do I have a purge button?
If you need to sneeze and you're not scuba diving, you do if you're scuba diving.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I don't know where my purge button is.
No, and you'd have to be scuba diving to have a purge button.
Okay,
You were not born with a purge button.
All right, good.
If you need to sneeze and you're not scuba diving, you can't breathe underwater, so you should try to surface before you let the sneeze rip. Otherwise, you end up sucking in a bunch of water right before you sneeze.
Right.
And that's not great.
See, the only button I know that I have is my belly button, and I don't think that's the same as a purge button.
No, if you push that and you're purging,
yeah,
that's have that looked at.
Although, I have to imagine there's somebody out there that is capable of making themselves vomit by just pushing their belly button.
What a neat trick.
Look at this trick.
Aren't you fun at parties?
Uh-huh.
Hey, everybody, gather around. He's going to do it again.
How do you stay so thin?
Number five.
Number five.
These stories of people setting world records tend to underwhelm us.
But some of them.
Because there's the one guy that's in here once a week with a different world record. He's a serial world record holder.
I wonder if he does actually have any sort of serial world records, where he's just basically stacking Cheerios on top of each other. Look at this. I did 13.
Every time I see his name in the news, it makes me mad. Like, get something else. Do something else other than set world records. We keep giving this guy attention, and then he keeps doing it.
Does he have a sponsor?
I mean,
it
must be what he does for a living.
If you guys
because once a week he's setting a world record.
If you could just pay for everything that I need, I can, I'm going to handcuff myself and swim across the Mississippi.
Now that was a. What was that?
That request went on for years.
What was that character's name? God, he used to call me when I was on WOC, and he'd always start with, like, you know who this is. I'm the man that does the stunts around this town. Okay.
We're not paying for your livelihood. If you guys could just take care of my room and board and, essentials and a few non-essentials, I could get to practicing swimming across the river handcuffed.
David Rush is the guy's name who has broken more than 250 Guinness World Records.
250?
Uh-huh.
That in itself is a world record, so make it 251.
Oh, Mr. Rush! Yeah, he just did another thing over the weekend. He was in the news. Oh, he snapped 63 pencils in 30 seconds. And let's see, his most recent...
That's just vandalism. That's not even a world record.
Before that... He had the world record for sorting peanut M&Ms by color in record time.
Does he work backstage?
Yes, he's. It's weird. His last name is Rush, but he works for Van Halen. Didn't see that coming. What else has he done this year? He set the record for slicing apples while bouncing on a pogo stick.
That seems too specific.
Yeah. Last year, he claimed 52 world record titles in 52 weeks. He had the fist bump world record.
What's the guy's name again?
David Rush.
So you think he's constantly, they're getting a call at Guinness.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yes, David.
David, please stop calling. We're begging you. Please, enough. You can't keep going out to Idaho to cover your nonsense.
He's got no legs.
Yeah, he's like McGregor. Can you blame him? This is not David Rush, though.
Uh-huh.
This is a teenager, an Armenian teenager.
Even better.
Who has just set the world record for performing pull-ups on a bar positioned between two moving trucks.
Again, very specific. Too specific.
Grigor Manukian. He's 18 years old, and he's just been awarded the Guinness World Records title for the most consecutive pull-ups on a bar positioned between two moving trucks. He achieved the feat after training with one Roman Sahadrian, a coach with multiple Guinness World Records of his own.
The guy's name?
The coach?
Yeah.
Roman Sahadrian.
I like that. Hello, I'm Roman Sahadrian.
I'm more convinced now than I ever was that the Guinness Book of World Records is a book this thick that's just about three different guys. The trucks were required to maintain a speed of at least 3.1 miles per hour during the attempt. This kid broke the previous world record of 35 pull-ups, which was set last year by Tazio Gavioli, a.k.a. the Italian Butterfly. This kid that just set the world record again
for
pull-ups between two moving trucks.
If you wouldn't mind, just call me the Italian Butterfly.
He told Guinness World Records, quote, "This record was not difficult for me due to my rigorous training. I think I could have brought the number up to 50, but I decided to stop at 44 and dedicate my record to the bright memory of the heroes who were martyred in the ill-fated 44 Artsakho War, in which thousands of Armenians died." He says he's training to take on a similar record for performing pull-ups from an airplane. That's what this cat does. He's the pull-up guy.
I'm going to hang on to a bar, and then you're going to take off.
How many pull-ups can I do?
One!
Most consecutive pull-ups on a bar position between two moving trucks. Congratulations, Grigor Manukian. You're the latest Guinness World Record holder.
Say you and I were the ones driving those trucks.
Uh-huh.
If he dies.
If he dies.
Well, no, I mean, aren't we up for like, aren't we going to get charged with manslaughter?
Well, the trucks are going 3.1 miles an hour.
Oh.
Not 31 miles per hour.
I guess that makes more sense.
If this kid falls, we would be able to stop the trucks.
I don't think that should count. I think it should have to be at least a street legal speed. You can't drive around town and go in 3 miles an hour. Whatever the speed limit is, that's what you got to go.
5 kilometers an hour or 3.1 miles per hour. Yeah, it would be
that's
more.
That's not street legal.
I would be more impressed if it were at least 35 miles an hour. I'm with you.
Well, or even if it's 20 miles an hour in a school zone.
How is doing it? I mean, the idea that there are trucks involved, does that make it somehow more complicated? The fact that you're moving, I think you're just focusing on.
As opposed to what? Like a Mini Cooper?
Yeah, I don't understand it. Well, I'll tell you who my heart goes out to. That is, of course, the Italian Butterfly, who probably got this news and was just crushed.
Like a windshield.
The Italian Butterfly has been showcased on national and international television.
Well, you don't have to tell me.
He began his sporting activities in 1999 with swimming, climbing, and free body exercises. Focusing on the latter two from the mid-2000s, the Italian Butterfly quickly asserted himself in the world of climbing and calisthenics. Boy, that's what I'd like to get involved in. I'd like to make a name for myself in the world of calisthenics.
Take it easy there, Jack LaLanne.
Most pull-ups in one set. Longest duration to maintain a human flag. You know what the human flag is? That's when you climb on the pole and then you extend yourself like you're a flag on a pole.
You know what?
That's not nothing.
You know
most consecutive pinky pull-ups, Darren, the Italian Butterfly, still holds that record.
As we age,
yes,
it might not be a bad idea to just kind of have a certain uniformity. And then you just don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Of wearing like the old Jack LaLanne zipper jumper.
I've been saying forever. I think that's
like
smart.
It's a smart look.
Just a jumpsuit.
You know what you're wearing in the morning.
Yes.
You put it on.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't have more than one. You can have a couple of them.
Well, you would have to. Right.
Just to keep them, you know, laundered.
Right.
But otherwise, it's just like, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I'd wear a green one in March and a red one for Christmas. Maybe a red, white, and blue one in July. I would coordinate.
An orange one during the fall?
Yeah, for Halloween. Hunting season.
For hunting?
Yeah, I don't want to get shot.
You're going to go hunting?
I don't want to get shot out there in my jumpsuit.
No, you don't.
If I'm out there doing my calisthenics in the woods, I don't want to give any hunters any ideas.
Odds are if you didn't have an orange jumpsuit,
uh-huh.
If you had a different, they would shoot you.
Wait a minute. Because if they would assume I was an escaped prisoner.
Well, they would just be hunting you.
Hey, hey, hey! This jumpsuit is a choice that I made.
But just, once you know,
it's uniformity that I crave at this
once
age.
Once you put the orange one on, yeah, whether they like it or not,
mm-hmm,
you know, any hunter that's worth, you know, their weight and whatever, they can't fire on someone who's wearing that a hunter's orange.
Well, they're not supposed to.
No, you can't do that. Even if they wanted to.
Hey, guys, this is against everything that you're supposed to stand
for.
No,
this is against the code.
The code of the hunter and everything that they're supposed to weigh. If you hunters are worth your weight in whatever.
Worth your weight in whatever.
You hunters are worth your weight in whatever. You'll hold your fire on me as I do my calisthenics out here in the forest.
Yeah. Why are you even out here? You're not even hunting.
No, I'm out here doing pull-ups on this tree
I'm out
branch.
Here trying to get fresh air.
Well, I'm doing calisthenics. You think I keep my body tight like this, just sitting around? And
I'm utilizing this tree.
Yeah, that's right. I'm using these roots to help me do push-ups. Look at me.
Deep knee bends.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things, the last one for the year of our Lord 2023. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a happy New Year, right?
To you. Yes. In jail.
Happy New Year to you. In jail.
I mean, I hope not. That's the top five things, thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for making it possible.
Nature's Treatment, they have the largest menu in the entire state of Illinois. They offer a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, edibles, and more. Sign up for your medical cannabis card through leafwell.com, and you'll receive coupons and discounts.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, you kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
That does it. Out you two pixies go, through the door or out the window.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.